In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. The context for this morning's reading arises from a time when Jesus drove a demon out of a mute man. When the mute man spoke, some of the people accused Jesus of driving out the demon by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Jesus pointed out that if a house were divided against itself, then it would fall, meaning it made no sense to say that the devil helped Jesus drive out the devil's demons. Jesus went on to point out that if he did not act by the power of the devil to drive out the demons, but by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God had come to them. Nonetheless, some of the people demanded a sign from Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God, rejecting the very sign given them, his driving out of the demon. Jesus responded that the only sign given to that corrupt generation would be the sign of Jonah. That sign would have significance at the resurrection, for the sign of Jonah was that, just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so also the Son of Man would be 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, that is, the grave. He warned that the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. This is where this morning's reading begins. No one lights a lamp and puts it on a place where it's hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. With these words, Jesus challenged the notion that the people needed a sign. His point was for them to open their eyes and see the one greater than Jonah standing in their midst. Jesus did not come to hide himself from them, but to reveal himself to them, to hide himself from them so that they would need a special sign to see him as the Messiah would make as much sense as someone bringing a lamp into a dark room and hiding it or placing it under a bowl. The lamp represents the light of the gospel, which shines through Jesus and his preaching. The prophets, evangelists, and apostles testify of the light of that lamp. The prophet Isaiah testifies, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The evangelist John testifies, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John also would record, "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And the Apostle Paul adds his testimony in 2 Corinthians when he writes, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Through Christ's church, the testimony of the light of the gospel has shone upon us, the baptized and catechized. In saving faith, you and I see the light of Christ. We see him as our Savior from sin. We see his birth as much more than a child in a manger, for we see his birth as the Word made flesh, the light that came into the world to save all mankind. Jesus is for all to see, yet some do not see. The problem is not with the lighted lamp, Jesus. The problem is bad eyes. So Jesus goes on to tell the people, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. What makes for an eye to be good or healthy? Literally, the Greek says, the lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye is single, then all your body is a bright light. But if your eye is evil, then the body of you is dark. For the eye to see single is to see without duplicity and is the picture of seeing the truth of what is before the eye. In context, this is to see spiritually, for the comparison is to have an evil eye, an eye that does not see the signs, repent, and believe. Luther said this about the reading, the tiniest speck in the eye is harmful to the sight. Christ indicates that the eye, that is doctrine, must be completely pure, clear, and sincere, having no dark part and no dark spots. The eye is the lamp of the body in the sense that when we believe the truth shines in our whole being. Therefore, Jesus finished our passage this morning by saying, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. The light which comes into the eyes is therefore for the benefit of the entire body. When the eye of faith, when with the eye of faith one sees Jesus, the true light, this seeing will be reflected in bodily actions, in practicing the word. Jesus told us in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let his light shine on you. Then the light which is Christ will make you, O Christian, also a light burning in this dark world, so that others may see the true light reflected in you and come to know him. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.